예이
예타
맘
프라파디안테
잔
차차
에바
하자미
아함
마마 바르트마
누바르찬테
마누시아하
파르타
사르바샤하
사르바샤하.
As all surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects, O son of Pritha. Yeah, please read the purport in Tamil. What's that word? Yajeta Purusham Param. How do you have it written there? In the Bhagavatam verse which is quoted at the end of this purport?
Yes, ma'am.
How was the last line?
Yajeta Purusham
Param. Uh-huh, okay, all right. I thought it was written wrong, just you. So, as you are all aware, there are many gods in Hinduism. Many, many, many. And in Hinduism, you can worship practically anything. Well, God is everything. God is everything, God is everywhere, God is in everything. So, it should be alright to worship anything as God, because everything is God. But in a more important sense, it's not true. Because one gets a different result from understanding who is actually Bhagavan and worshipping him, and from just worshipping anyone or anything as Bhagavan. Now the Ayyappa season is beginning. So people, they go through various severe austerities, like not eating meat for 40 days. And then they have to walk up a hill after getting a train down to Sabarimalai area. They have to walk up some hills. And then if they followed the vow properly without smoking cigarettes in the toilet, without anyone seeing them, then they can see a light. They see the jyoti. And different people worship different what they consider to be God or gods or goddesses. But it's not that everyone gets the same result. Recently there was someone who, one of the many gurus, that, or so-called gurus that people could, why don't they all sit and listen? Better than playing volleyball. You'll get a better result. You can get spiritual knowledge. Please come and sit and learn something which you'll never learn in your school. What does he say?
That's one school from Tirupati, they have uh-huh. from
Yes, so that's very nice. Please sit and listen, and then we'll give you... You don't have to worry for your meal. You can take your prasadam here. Now, Bhagavad Gita is a book of knowledge, obviously, isn't it? Now, if by worshipping anything or anyone one would get the same result, then there'd be no need of reading Bhagavad Gita. If everything is just all the same, then you don't need to learn anything. But in Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavan teaches us, when Krishna is speaking, we find Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. Krishna, Sri Bhagavan means Sri Bhagavan. Uvacha means is speaking. And he establishes that there is a different result obtained from different forms of worship. That makes sense, doesn't it? You get different results according to different activities. If you take some wheat flour and mix it with a little water and roll it out, then you can get some chapatis. And if you get some rice flour or whatever, then you or you cook some rice in a pot, it's a different thing to chapatis. Now, here Krishna says that I reciprocate with everyone according to the degree or the way in which they approach me. Now this doesn't mean that everyone is God, and anything is God, or that any form of worship is the same. But it means that Krishna is overseeing everything. It's true that if we worship different what are called demigods, then we can get boons from them. Varam, yeah, that word is there. Boons. Kamshanta karmanam siddhim yajamdhiha devataha kshiprangi manushe loke siddhir bhavati karmaja. Here in this chapter, just before, Lord Krishna says that people who desire success in material work, they worship demigods. They achieve success in their fruitive activities. So then we think, well, that's very good. So we should do that. But elsewhere in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, antabhattu palam tesham tad bhavatyalpamedhasam, that those who worship demigods are less intelligent because the reward that they get is temporary. So one can get material results by worshipping demigods, that's true. But those material results are always temporary. They don't really help us. And even the demigod's ability to give any boon, that also comes from Krishna. As Lord Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita, Mayaiva Bihitan Hitan, whatever is given by the demigods, ultimately that power comes from Krishna. So if we worship various demigods, it's true in one sense we are worshipping Krishna, because they are different aspects of Krishna. They are representatives of Krishna. But because demigod worship is executed without proper knowledge, without knowledge of who the demigod is in relationship to Krishna, because it is undertaken for an ignoble motive. You know what ignoble means?
Opposite to noble.
Yeah, that's right. For a base motive, it means a low motive. And therefore, the result of worshipping the actual Bhagavan, that is not achieved. Now, even some people who, we find some modern gurus in the world who people claim them to be Bhagavan. And such persons, some of them may have some Shakti also. But that also doesn't make them the supreme. That power that they have is limited and temporary. And that's also derived from Krishna. Not even directly, but from Krishna's external energy. Such persons who, by showing some little powers, they claim themselves to be God, they are a long way from God. Now, people think that by going to these people, I am becoming religious. But the actual result is that they go further away from God. Because by not understanding who actually Bhagavan is and worshipping someone else as Bhagavan, they make offenses toward the real Bhagavan, who is Krishna. So there is a tremendous ignorance in human society as to the nature of genuine religion. Different people are claiming that this is God, no, that is God, something else is God, someone else is God. Some people claim that Jesus is God, although he himself never claimed it. But practically, no one has any knowledge of who is actually Bhagavan. And this is the root reason of why there are so many problems in human society. Anyway, material life is full of problems. It must be because in this material situation, we are cut off from our original blissful situation of loving service to Krishna. And we, although that tendency to consider there is God is there, but we tend to consider someone as God according to what they can do for us, giving us material boons. But the world situation is getting worse and worse and worse. Because either people are completely atheistic, or in the name of religion, they are cultivating enviousness. Enviousness means that there's no actual love for God. They don't know who he is. They have no intention of surrendering to him. But they adopt some religious path so that they can become to get some advantage in exploiting the world and exploiting other people. And they think that, well, whichever one does the job best for me, that one I'll worship. If Murugan gives me ₹1 crore, I'll worship him. If not, then I'll worship some Baba or some Paramahamsa or someone or something. And if nothing of that works, then I'll become a Christian. At least I can get some concession from the government. So, this kind of religion is not lauded, it's not praised by Srimad Bhagavatam. There is something, some reflection or something resembling religion or approaching God. But because it is conducted in ignorance for a wrong motive, it never really approaches the platform of true religion, which is to understand one's position as the eternal servant of Krishna and serve him without any personal motive. That is the platform of actual bliss. But people don't know this. So the purpose of the Krishna conscious movement is to give people this knowledge. But mostly people, they don't want this knowledge. They feel threatened by it. That I'm already getting my sense gratification by some means or other, and now these people want to interfere with that. Or they think, well, yeah, okay, let's have a look and see. Let's see what I can get out of this. So the preaching of the Krishna conscious movement is meant to bring a whole change in the whole way that people think and consider the world. It's not really a matter of converting people from Christians to Hindus or from demigod worshippers to Krishna worshippers. It's a different proposition altogether. You see people, they're worshipping Murugan for what they want to get, and instead they worship Jesus for what they want to get. So it's the same perverted attitude in a different approach, that's all. So the Krishna conscious movement is meant for teaching people that we are not supposed to approach God for what we can get from him. We should have faith that he loves us and he will provide everything that we need. And we should also consider that our relationship with him should not be selfish. Acharyas on the path of Krishna consciousness, they have written so many beautiful poems and songs describing the bliss of serving Krishna without any personal motivation. Instead of worshipping someone or something that we think is God for what we can get, we simply worship Krishna because he is Bhagavan. There is no personal desire. Devotees are extremely happy just in chanting the names of Krishna, decorating his form or seeing his beautiful form, and remembering his activities and qualities. So this knowledge is required to be distributed in human society. Previously, it was there in Indian society to a large extent. People took pleasure in hearing of the qualities and pastimes of Rama and Krishna. Practically the whole of Indian society was God conscious, but people have lost that. So this Krishna conscious movement is meant to restore it. It's a little difficult at the present time because the culture has broken down to such a large extent. If we want to talk about Krishna, who will we talk with? If we want to discuss the pastimes of Krishna, who will appreciate them? Due to bad propaganda, people think, well, this is just a waste of time or it's got nothing to do with me. Still, people have some respect for sadhus. But that's also for the wrong reason. Because they think if I see a sadhu, I'll get some good material fortune. Although, dishtam is the word for good luck, is it?
Adishtam.
Adishtam. Adishtam means good luck. So, although some people are making propaganda that seeing a sadhu is bad luck, Durdrishtam. It's Sanskrit. So, and other people think that the most pious activity you can do is to kill a cow or a sadhu. And cow killing that's allowed in this sinful land of India, the Papa Bhumi, used to be called Punya Bhumi. So far, killing sadhus is not allowed by law. But when there are riots and there's no law, then certain persons, they take advantage to, let's see if we can find any sadhus for killing. So it's a very confused situation. And many people, their consciousness is so poor that they can hardly even begin to understand these topics. This is the situation in Kali Yuga. So for people who are of very poor spiritual discrimination, who cannot even begin to understand any philosophy, we tell them, take prasada, at least do that. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's program is to go everywhere with groups of devotees chanting the holy names of Krishna. Because even if they don't want to, that by hearing the names of Krishna, they will become purified. One of the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu was Gadadhar Das. So he was told, you go everywhere, house to house, and ask people to chant Hare Krishna. So he went to the house of the Qazi, the Muslim ruler, and he called out, chant Hare Krishna, chant Hare Krishna. And the Qazi came out on his brand, he thought, this guy's crazy. You know, I have people, he doesn't know that I punish people for chanting Hare Krishna. He's asking me to chant Hare Krishna. So he thought, there's no use to punish him. He's just completely crazy. So he told him, okay, I'll chant Hare Krishna tomorrow. So Gadadhar Das was very happy and said, well, you just said Hare Krishna once, just go on. So devotees, they take many risks to spread the teachings of Krishna consciousness. Generally in India, there's not much risk attached to preaching Krishna consciousness. But in many countries there has been. It used to be that in America, when our devotees, they went for distributing books, that quite regularly people would just walk up to them and punch them in the face. Why? Because they believe in free expression. If you don't like something, you express it. So that's pretty low class, but it was common in America. Although nowadays things have changed, and many people in America appreciate this movement also. One of my disciples in America, he was distributing books. He was out in his dhoti, and shaved head, tilak, and all these things. In Los Angeles, which is maybe, definitely one of the most materialistic cities in the world, famous for that. And one businessman dressed in a very expensive suit approached him and said, just look at you and look at me. You're a monk and I'm a miserable materialist. So he was appreciated. Previously in Russia and other countries of the Soviet bloc, as it was called, devotees were persecuted for chanting Hare Krishna. Nowadays, devotees can practice Krishna consciousness openly. Anyway, these are just some examples of how devotees, they have to be very determined to spread Krishna consciousness. One devotee was in prison in the USSR for chanting Hare Krishna. They took away his beads. And the only food they gave them was water and some bread that was extremely hard. So with great difficulty, they were able to break that bread, and it was hard enough that they could shape it into beads. And in this way, they made, out of the hard bread, they made chanting beads. So they couldn't stop the chanting. In Sydney in Australia, our devotees, they used to go out every day to chant Hare Krishna in the streets. And every day they were getting arrested for the crime of chanting Hare Krishna in the street. So they wrote to Prabhupada and said, well, what should we do? We're getting put in prison all the time. Prabhupada wrote a letter back and said, it doesn't matter. You go on chanting Hare Krishna in the prison. Doesn't matter. So the devotees did that. They went on chanting in the prison. And eventually the public opinion changed, and they thought, you know, why are we wasting so much time? There are so many real criminals in this city. And the police department, they can't catch any real criminals, so they catch the Hare Krishnas instead, and the people all turn against the police. So preaching Krishna consciousness is very difficult, there's no doubt. Even in India, of course, it's at least here, we're not getting imprisoned and tortured. I don't know of any cases. People are generally more open and favorable to Krishna consciousness. But still, it's very difficult to convince people to take to Krishna consciousness very seriously. People will come to the temple, and then they'll go to all the demigods' temples also. Or they'll take to Krishna consciousness, but still they'll maintain so many material attachments. We tell people the simple method of becoming purified. You just follow all these things. You chant Hare Krishna, you follow these principles, and serve Krishna, you'll be purified. But they have such difficulty. Chanting Hare Krishna seemed the most pleasurable thing, or the most purifying activity. People think it's a great burden. If we hear and we understand that simply by chanting the names of Krishna we can achieve all spiritual success, we should be very eager to do so. But we have to be pushed. Chant one round. Okay, now chant two rounds. So like this, with great difficulty, people, like it's the worst austerity, they slowly start increasing their rounds. Gradually people start to come in, and then they give up onions and garlic and offer their food to Krishna. And they go to their relatives, and their relatives say, why are you eating onions? Oh, okay. And then they stop being Krishna Das, and they become relative Das again. So we should be very serious in Krishna consciousness. But unfortunately, in many cases, we're not. So it's very difficult to get people to take this very seriously. We don't understand what a precarious situation we're in. By the power of Maya, we think that, well, everything's okay. I don't need to take Krishna consciousness seriously. We don't realize the value of this human birth. So we're trying to inculcate this knowledge in human society. It is difficult, but we have to keep on trying. Gradually, people will come to understand what is the importance of Krishna consciousness. We should not become discouraged because some people don't take it, many people don't take it very seriously. Our duty is simply to try to spread this knowledge. And duty means not just like you do they go to their factory and their office and they do it just because they have to do it. But they have no feeling for that. They don't, you know, they don't have any intrinsic feeling for the factory. They get another job in another factory that pays 10 rupees a week more, then they'll change their job. So it's like that with demigod worship also. People are worshipping one demigod and someone says, hey, why don't you work? I'm getting this, that, and they say, okay, I'll try that one instead. There's no real feeling or love. But devotees of Krishna, they try to spread Krishna consciousness. Not just because they're supposed to, but they have feeling for Krishna. And they feel sorry seeing that so many people are wasting their human form of life without serving Krishna. Manusha janama paya radha krishna bhujya janiya shunya vishakaya. Those who do not take to Krishna consciousness, then knowingly drinking poison, spoiling their human form of life. So especially during this month of December, we are promoting that please everyone take these books of Krishna consciousness. This is the month in which Lord Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita. But actually Krishna is always speaking Bhagavad Gita. Through his devotees, the speaking of Bhagavad Gita is going on and on and on. Once a devotee in London asked Srila Prabhupada, is Bhagavad Gita ever spoken outside India? Prabhupada said, I'm here, I'm speaking Bhagavad Gita, this is outside India. So a devotee was thinking, does Krishna speak Bhagavad Gita outside of India? But Srila Prabhupada speaking Bhagavad Gita is the same result we will get if we hear as attentively and as seriously as Arjuna heard Krishna. So throughout the year, throughout this month and throughout the year and throughout our lives, we should try to help this mission of spreading Krishna consciousness. Why? What will we get from doing it? If we ask anyone to do any activity, then what will I get from doing it? Let's go and practice volleyball. Why? Well, if we practice enough, we might win the state championship. So devotees, they're not interested in winning volleyball championships or any championship. Why should we serve Krishna? Why should we try to spread this Krishna consciousness? Those who have captured the spirit of Krishna consciousness, they don't have to, they don't think, what will I get out of this? They simply want to see that Krishna is satisfied. And they want to see that people are, that all the brothers and sisters, all living entities, are saved from birth and death and established in the blissful spiritual life of Krishna consciousness. So see what you can do to help with this, to try to help to spread this movement, distribute these books, and help others to get this knowledge by which they can be uplifted to Krishna consciousness. All right, Hare Krishna. Is there any question about this? Yeah, please.
His mother has left body last year, and he is saying that as a Vaishnava, do we need to offer this pindas and other things, this rituals?
For Vaishnavas, it's not required to do this. By performing devotional service, everything is taken care of. Devarshi bhutapta rinam pitrinam nakinkaro nayam rinicharajam sarvatmana yah sharanam sharanyam kato mukundam parihritya kartam. The different kinds of debts to the pitris, the forefathers, the people in general, to living beings in general, to the devas and to the rishis, these debts do not have to be discharged by persons who have surrendered to Krishna, because Krishna takes care of everything. Nevertheless, if you want to, you can perform some ceremony, at least that your living relatives may be pacified that you are not, that you're doing something. You may do that. You may take the opportunity on that specific date to call Vaishnavas to your home, have Sankirtan in the home, and distribute prasadam. The general Shraad system is meant to benefit people materially, but devotees are not interested in giving any material benefit. There's no point. So, as stated in Shastra, that those who perform pure devotional service, up to 21 generations of their relatives are liberated by that. So in Shastra there are it's described that it's absolutely necessary that these ceremonies be performed, but Srimad Bhagavatam states that if you're a devotee of Krishna, that's automatically taken care of by your bhakti. But we shouldn't think that we can practice Krishna consciousness in a very whimsical or half-hearted manner, and that will have the same effect as those who are fully surrendered to Krishna. And we shouldn't think, well, performing Shraddha is very expensive, so I'll just say Hare Krishna once and that'll be better. So, to save yourself from that mentality and to save others from accusing you of being a creeper, a miser, then you can, the same amount of money which you might have spent for Shraddha, you organize a Sankirtan festival and distribute prasadam. Kanjam. Kanjush. Any other question? All right, well, if there's no other question, then we'll join in the beautiful Arati ceremony of Sri Gaur Nitai and chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Hare Krishna.